All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. I want to encourage you to come out for this softball game, the ladies' softball game. I get to pitch. I pitch for both teams. So I'm not going to dive for a ball this year like I did last year. I about killed myself last year. I dove for that ball and I thought, what in the world are you doing? And then I hit the ground and I knew exactly what I was doing. I couldn't walk for a week, but I'm not going to do that this year. I'm going to pitch the ball and wherever it's hit, that's where it goes. I'm not getting in the way. But it was fun last year, and I hope you'll come out this year. We're adding two things this year with a little cookout afterwards, and I hope that you girls will sign up and play, and then if you need a base runner, we will provide you with a base runner. In other words, you can stand there in the box and hit the ball, and one of these younger girls will run for you. Doesn't that sound good? Huh? That sounds good. That'll help some of you, won't it? All right, now you're thinking about playing, aren't you? All right, well, let me advise you to do this. Stretch. All right, stretch before you come out, please. Oh, my goodness. I was so stiff and so sore. I couldn't hardly move for about a week, and I'm not kidding you. But it was fun, I want to do it again. We'll plan on that for not tomorrow, but the following Monday. All right, so come out for it. You'll enjoy it. All right, I want to speak to you this morning from the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. And we find this parable in the first nine verses of this chapter. And the Bible here says that the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Now, what's a parable? Well, a parable is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. All right, so the Lord Jesus was a master at the use of parables. He would take these little, simple, everyday, common things, for instance, a man sowing seed. Something very common, very ordinary. And he would tell that and explain that and then make spiritual application to it. And that's what the Lord does in the parable of the sower. Now, not all of his parables were explained, but this one was. And we'll read the explanation here in just a second. But I want you to understand that this is a parable, and it is an earthly story that has spiritual, heavenly application to it. And then in verse 3, here's the parable. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. All right, now how many of you have ears? Okay, not complicated, is it? All right, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. All right, so it's real important that we listen to what the Lord has to say here. This is so simple and such but yet it's such a powerful little truth. All right, look at verse 18. Verse 18 is where the Lord explains this parable to his disciples. And in verse 18, Jesus said to the disciples, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom," the Bible, "and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside." And so, verse 20, "But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it." You say, well, what in the world does anon mean? Well, look at verse 21. "Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth," or endureth, "for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, anon," by and by, that's what anon means, by and by, "he is offended." Do you see the Bible's built-in dictionary right there? All right, that's what anon means, by and by. Verse 22, "He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. All right, let's pray. Father, help us now. I pray that you will help me as I explain this parable. I pray you'll help our folks as they listen. As you said in the parable, give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And Father, I just pray that we will have receptive hearts this morning to your wonderful word, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. This is an amazing little parable, the parable of the sower. And I want you to notice that there are three basic items here, or symbols here. There are three major things that I call to your attention. Number one is the sower. The sower. Number two is the seed. And number three is the soil. All right, so you've got three things here that we must focus on. Number one, the sower. Number two, the seed. And number three, soil. Okay, now, let's start with the first, the sower. All right, we know that the original sower of the seed was the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also understand that he committed unto us the job of sowing the seed. It is my job, it is your job as a Christian to sow the seed of the Word of God. When you come to church here, I promise you, somebody is going to get up and have you open the Bible. They're going to have you open the Word of God, the seed. And the sower that stands behind this pulpit, whether it's me or whether it is one of these guys behind me or somebody that I invite to come in. But nonetheless, the seed is going to be sown from this pulpit. And not only is it the job of the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, the missionary to spread the seed, it is also the job of every believer, every Christian. We're not to take the seed and stick it in our pockets and just wait for the day when we wear our pockets out and a little bit trickles out here and there. No, our job is to be sowing the seed of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that brings the results. It's the Bible. We must preach and teach and share and give the Scriptures, the Bible. That's how men realize and recognize their need of the Savior. All right, so we have the sower, and that's us. Then we have the seed. The seed, of course, is the Word of God. And folks, that's why we preach the Bible, because people need the Bible. They're not going to be convinced to live for God simply by me getting up here and preaching out of the Carroll County Times. All right, I've got to take the Bible and share with you what thus saith the Lord. And that's what we try to do here at Church the Open Door, because the seed is the Bible, the gospel as it is found in God's Word. And then thirdly, there is the soil. Now, the soil is a picture of the heart of a person. The heart of a person. All right, so we have the sower, and that's a picture of us, the Lord Jesus, the original sower. And then he committed unto us. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." So it is my job, it is your job to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with others. So we have the sower, then we have the seed, and the seed is the Bible, the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, we have the soil. And that soil is a picture of men's heart, the heart of men. When that sower sows the seed, the Word of God, that seed, the Word of God, falls upon the heart of an individual. And there are, you will notice here now, four reactions, things that happen when that seed lands on the heart. All right, what are they? Well, notice, first of all, in verse 4, we are told that some of the seed in verse 4 fell by the wayside. The wayside. Now, what is a wayside? Well, the wayside is a pathway. It's a pathway. When I was a kid, we lived on the top of this little knoll, and we would ride our bikes down the hill. They were concrete streets, and we would ride down the hill to play ball with all the rest of the kids in the subdivision. And then we would know that at a certain time we were supposed to be home. And so we would wait, of course, until the very last minute. All right. Now, none of you ever did that, I know. But my brother and I always waited to the very last minute. And then we would hightail it. I mean, just break our necks to get home. And sometime we'd run up that hill. And after running up that hill, you're tired, you know. And so instead of going up the road and coming in the sidewalk, my brother and I would, you know, the shortest distance between two points is the straight line that connects them. Remember that from geometry class? Well, I knew that before I ever took geometry. And so we would make a beeline across the front yard, and it didn't take long before my mother was taking us both outside by the ear and saying, "You see this path you boys are making here? Now, it's not going to kill you to go up the road and then come down the sidewalk. Do you understand me?" "Yes, ma'am." That's why one ear is bigger than the other. That was how I was taught a many a lesson, just right there like that. And so we knew that, if you just go that way, you can shave off about, 3, 4, 5 seconds, I don't know. But that's what we did. We ran across and made a path. And now the path, is hard soil. And that's where some of the seed fell. It fell on the pathway. And what happened when it did? Well, the Bible here says that when that happened, the birds came and they picked up the seed and flew off with it. They ate the seed. Now, what does that represent? Well, that represents folks that are what I'm going to call a hard heart. That soil has been tamped down. It's hard. It's a pathway. And it's hard. You cannot get the seed to grow on that hard soil. It's been underfoot of man for a long time, and it's hard. All right, so that is a picture of someone who comes to church and they hear the word of God, but they have a hard heart. They've been out in the world. They've been living for themselves. They've not been living for God. They don't know anything about the word of God and how a person ought to live. And they've just been doing their own thing. And so while doing their own thing, they have developed this heart that has no spiritual understanding at all. And that's a hardened heart. And so the seed of the word of God falls upon that heart, and there's no fruit. Nothing comes of it. And the Lord Jesus said that person just doesn't get it, just doesn't understand. He cannot accept the gospel, cannot accept the word of God. And so he then gets up, he goes out, and in a matter of hours or days, then the devil comes along, takes the seed that was sown, and flies away with it, and the guy's no better off than he was. All right, the hard heart. There's a second kind of heart. Notice the second one I'm going to call the shallow soil, or the stony heart. If you will, look please at verse 5. It says that some fell, secondly, upon stony places where they had not much earth. In other words, the soil was rocky. And there wasn't a whole lot of room in there for the seed to take root. Now, this is the stony heart. We see this one all the time. We see this one all the time. We probably notice it a whole lot more than you do, but we see this one all the time. This is someone who is in trouble. They either are sick, or they have a loved one who's sick, or they have lost their job and they don't know what they're going to do, or they have a child who has broken their heart and they're just so emotional and so their life turned upside down and they don't know what to do, they don't know how to do, and somebody says, won't you go to church and talk to somebody? Why don't you go down to church, the open door, and talk to somebody? And so they come to the church, and they'll sit down and listen, and boy, I call this the emotional hearer. I mean, they just start crying the minute the choir starts singing. They just start crying the minute the congregation starts to sing. Oh, a burden that they carry is so great, and it just crushes them. And they're sitting there anxious and eager, and they listen to the word as it is preached, and they're broken, and down the aisle they'll come. First service, down the aisle they'll come. And they're crying and they're saying, oh, I just need some help. And somebody will take a Bible and show them how to be saved. And they'll maybe even pray. And you think, wow, this is great. And they're bawling and crying. And we think, wow, this one's going to stick. Man, this is great. You know, so many times folks come and, you know, they'll get saved and then they just disappear. You can't find them. The FBI couldn't find them. And trust me, we've had the FBI come and say, I understand so-and-so was in your service Sunday. Yeah, they were. Well, do you know where they live? Nope. Don't have a clue. We don't know where they are. The FBI can't find them. How are we supposed to find them? You know? And that's the emotional hearer. Folks in trouble and they're looking for an answer. But they are shallow soil. They are stony, hearted people. And the seed does not take root in the heart. And then a week goes by or 2 weeks go by and they're gone. They're gone. You don't see them again. And we go to visit, the address they gave us, don't we? We go to visit, they don't live there anymore. They moved in 3 days' time. Or they lied to us, one or the other, I don't know. But you can't find them. And that is the thorny soil. Then, or the shallow soil. Then look thirdly at the thorny soil. That's in verse 7. And in verse 7, we read that some fell among the thorns. Now, we learn from the Lord's explanation in verse 22 that the thorny soil is the soil that is worldly-minded. That heart is worldly. The weeds and the thorns represent the influences of the world. How many people sit in our services and, you know, they come in under a burden of sin and yet they don't and they won't get saved because they don't want to give up the world that they're living in. They don't want to give it up. They don't want to give it up. I've had people tell me, well, you know, preacher, if I get saved, then I'm going to have to quit this. And I try to explain to them, you don't have to quit. If you get saved, you're going to want to quit. All right? And I've used this illustration. I think I used it last Sunday. I've had all that I want to drink this morning. I've drank everything I've wanted. I had coffee and I had water. I've had all I've wanted to drink. I've said all of the curse words this morning that I've wanted to say. Really, said them all. I know, shocking, isn't it? You know how many that is? One. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm joking. No, none. None. I've told all the dirty jokes I want to tell. None. You see, when you get saved, God changes your heart. But here's what happens. Someone comes in having lived in the world, and the world has its grips in it, its claws in them, and it doesn't want to turn loose, and they'll sit here, and the seed is sown, but it falls upon thorny soil. And then they go out, and here it is, choked. Just choked, and there's no fruit. No fruit. So you've got the first one, the hard heart, and they're not saved. You've got, secondly, the shallow soil. They're not saved. They just went through a bunch of emotion. And then, thirdly, there is the thorny soil, and they're not saved. But then, fourthly, thank God for the good soil. The good soil is that soil where the person hears, they receive, and it produces fruit. So four kinds of soil, and one out of the four are saved. And listen, folks, every single person in this room, listen to me now, every single person in this room can find yourself in one of these four soils. Now you think about that. That's quite a lesson the Lord Jesus gave, don't you think? That's quite a lesson. Now, here's what I want you to consider. I want you to think about this. We know the Apostle Paul tells us that in 2 Thessalonians, he tells us that there will be in the last days a falling away first. A falling away first. The word that is translated falling away is a word that we use today. We anglicize it, of course. But the word is this, apostasia. Does that ring any bells? Apostasy. What is apostasy? Well, that's just a great big old word that means falling away. Falling away, going away from the truth. Going away from the seed. All right? You see how it all connects? Going away from the seed. Now, I want you to think about this, folks. One of the four is saved. Number four, the good soil. But one of the four. All right, now follow me carefully. Here's what we're seeing in these last days. We're seeing it, and I talked to all my friends down at the National Sword Conference. I said, are you seeing this? Oh, my soul, brother, yes. Yes. We have had to readjust so many things. I said, yep, I know what you mean. It's everywhere. We are seeing this everywhere, a falling away from the truth. How many times have we seen this? Somebody comes to church, gets under the sound of the gospel, the seed is sown, and down the aisle they'll come, or in their home, after someone visits their home, they will pray and receive Christ as their Savior. They're now saved, and they come to church, walk down the aisle, make a public profession of their faith, get into baptistry, and follow the Lord and believers' baptism, and join the fellowship of the church. And then they're here, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now, you do realize I'm talking about a bygone era, right? You do realize that now, don't you? That's a bygone era. How sad. And then they get involved. They maybe get involved in the bus ministry. They get up here and sing and join the choir. They may even do special music. Many of them have, through the years, served on the board, served on the men's council. They're in a deacon's meeting every month, making decisions for the entire body. And as time goes on, you start noticing they're not here. Starts on Wednesday nights. And then it goes to Sunday night. And then they start missing Sunday morning. And then they resign from their Sunday school class. And then they quit their bus route. And then they quit the choir. And then they don't usher anymore. And we all stand around wondering, what in the world's going on? What's happened to that guy? What's happened to that lady? Man, I mean, she used to be all in. He used to be all in. You could always count on them. And now you look around on Sunday morning and you notice that their seat is empty. Or somebody new is sitting in their seat. And so we have a staff meeting and we sit there and look at one another and go, what happened? Well, I can tell you what happened. I can tell you what happened. You want to know? All right, I want you to look at these four hearts. I want you to look at these. Number one is, don't forget now, the seed is the key. And I want you to look at verse 4, the hard heart. Verse 5, the stony heart, the shallow soil. Number 3, verse 7, the thorny soil. And then number 4, the good soil. Now let's just think about this. One out of the four is saved. Which one? The good soil. Thank God for the good soil. Thank God for people that get saved and stay with it. Folks, you're going to get offended. I wish you didn't. But you're going to be offended as you go through life. I will promise you this. I would never hurt any of you intentionally. I promise you that. I don't get up in the morning and say, how can I tick Holbrook off? But I promise you, I've ticked him off a few times. I mean, that's life. That's life. And let me tell you something. How you react to that is a telltale sign of your character. Now, that was free. Didn't cost you a thing. All right, but think about the seed, okay? Let's think about it. The seed is the key. Now, start with number 4, the good soil. That's where we all ought to be. Don't you agree? I mean, producing the good soil in verse 8, that it brings forth 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold. Oh, thank God for the good soil. But now don't forget, the seed is the key. When you're in the good soil category, you're sowing seed. You're sowing the seed. You are reading your Bible. You are faithful to the house of God. You are growing as the seed is bringing fruit in your life. But what happens is this. Somewhere along the way, we become professional Christians. All right? We learn what's expected. And then, as time progresses, if you don't keep sowing the seed, you mark it down, dear friend, you're on your way down. You're in trouble. You say, well, what's going to happen to me? Go back one. We're at 4. Go back to 3. What's number 3? Number 3 is the thorns begin to grow. What are the thorns? The thorns are the world. Listen, folks, you have got to stay in the book and keep sowing the seed, or the world is going to roll over you. Folks, the devil knows his business. He knows his business. I'm amazed at the grip that the world has on people. I'm just amazed by it. I remember back in the early 80s that all these men started wearing earrings in their ears. You know, left was right and right was wrong. Did you get that? Left was right and right was wrong. Now, I remember back in the 60s and 70s, if a man had an earring in his right ear, he was advertising. You know what I mean? He was advertising. He was telling you what he is in his heart. And it's not straight. And then Michael Jordan and, you know, these rock and roll bands, they all started wearing earrings in their ears. And then the next thing you know, everybody wants to be like Mike. And church members start coming to church with earrings on. Just as cool as they could be. Oh, so cool. And what are you doing? You're advertising. You're saying, I love the world. I love the world. Well, the devil wasn't satisfied with just that, was he? Wasn't satisfied with that. Now everybody's got to get branded. You know, I can remember when I was a kid, my grandfather would get cows and he would brand them. So, what are you doing? That hurts. He said, yeah, I know, but everybody's going to know whose cow that is. Everybody's going to know whose cow that is. And you're just showing everybody where your heart is. You're welcome. It's true. You can look at me sideways if you want to. But it's true, and you know it. I don't know what else to say to you folks, but that's the truth. You know what it is? It's identity. That's all it is, identity. Then what happens? Well, if you don't keep sowing the seed, you're first going to go back to number three, and the world is going to creep in. Then you're going to go back to number two, and number two is that which falls upon the shallow soil, the stony places. The stony places. What's that mean? Well, that simply means that what happens is the sun scorches you, the world. You get scorched. Or some church member scorches you. I can't believe he did that. I know, I can't either. But he did. What are you going to do? Get a gun and kill him? So I would never do that. Well, let me remind you, the Lord Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Man, our tempers are short, aren't they? We'll blow at the drop of a hat. Why? We're not sowing the seed. We're not in the Word. We're not sowing the seed. You know, the best way to just keep at it is get in a ministry that is sowing seed and stay there. Stay there. Some of the greatest thing, people have come to me through the years and they've said, Pastor, the greatest thing that I ever did for my family was get involved in the bus ministry. Every Sunday out there with my kids, driving that bus and running that bus. It's the best thing I ever did. Sowing the seed. Just sowing the seed. And then what happens? Well, what happens then is you go back to number one and you get hard. You with me on that? That's what happens next. Hard-hearted. Hard-hearted. I mean, that Christian, now I'm not trying to be unkind here, folks. I've told you before, I can be unkind without trying. But that Christian is the most miserable, and yet that Christian is one of the most common in our churches today. Sitting there with a bad spirit, hard-hearted. You're not going to reach me, preacher. You're not going to reach me. And that's why, listen now, that's why after a few months, here's what you say in the car on the way home. You know, that preacher is just not feeding my soul. Hello? Oh, you've heard it. You've heard it. That's the excuse they give. Oh, that preacher's just not feeding my soul. Really? It's funny, he's feeding mine. That's what you ought to say. Well, you know, that's funny, because I've learned more Bible under Pastor Norris's preaching than I had ever learned my entire Christian life. And now you're not getting fed? Man, that's weird. But that's what I've heard. Ma'am, where'd you go? And a lot of times, they don't go anywhere. They just don't want to be here under the sound of the word. Well, I still watch online. Yeah, you're afraid you're going to miss something is what it is. This is going to go over good. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. You can't assemble with the brethren in front of your computer screen. Amen. I'll say it. It is true. And your heart becomes hard. And hard-hearted Christians, listen, our churches are full of them. Not going to reach me. And we just don't let God speak to us. So, well, I vote we all accept this information and go home. And there's no application whatsoever. Oh, we've got to apply the Word of God. And let God do something in our hearts.
Amen.
Let's bow for prayer, please. Hey, Christian, don't let it be asked about you. What's happened to him? What's happened to her? Man, what happened? Wow, they used to be. Yeah. I'll tell you what happened. Somewhere along the line, they stopped sowing the seed. And when you stop sowing the seed, first thing that happened, you get worldly minded. Second thing that happens to you is you get burned. You get burned. Folks, people are going to say stuff. Not everybody's out to get you. I wish folks would understand that. If I quit every time somebody said something negative about me, I would have quit 27 and a half years ago. But we can't do that. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's about the Lord. So we can't quit. We got a seed we got to sow. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder how many folks here today will say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart this morning. Pray for me. I understand what you're saying here. I understand what you showed us. I get it. And God's speaking to my heart right now. Would you lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it? Just lift your hand and raise it. Say, preacher, pray for me. God bless all of you. God bless you. Thank you so much, folks. Thank you so much. Wonderful. You may put your hands down. All right, let me ask this question. How many here will say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved and on my way to heaven? Maybe you're the first kind of soil. Maybe you're the second kind of soil. Or maybe you're the third kind of soil. I don't know, but you say, "Preacher, you identified me, and I want you to pray for me. I need the Lord as my Savior, and I know that. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you this morning?" Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? Anyone else? "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure, but I know I need the Lord. Pray for me." Anybody like that? All right, Father, you know our hearts, and I pray now that you will use your word to make a difference in our hearts. Help us to put you first in all things, and Father, to realize the importance of sowing the seed. I just thank you for so many people in this church that are seed sowers. They legitimately, really, truly care about sowing the seed. And Father, I pray that you will bless every seed that falls upon the ground. And Father, give us much fruit. And I pray for our people that you will just bless them. Hands all over the building. Young, old, teenagers, children. Father, help us to take the word and hide it in our hearts so that we won't sin against you. Bless us, Lord. We need your blessing. We need your hand. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.